Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Back to the discussion now. Two new guests as we consider what these robust jobs numbers look like. I want to hear from you. Is your company hiring? Have you gotten a raise lately? Have you started looking around for a better job because the job market feels right for that? And for you, how does the booming job market affect your own personal economy? Here's the phone number, 800-242-2828, 651-227-6000, and on Twitter, at @CarrieNPR, where a listener says, haven't had a raise in several years. Property taxes went up over $400 in the past 2 years. Recently started working a second job to supplement my income. Yeah, how's the job market feel to you? 651-227-6000. To our guest now, Eric Morath reports on the economy for the Wall Street Journal. He's in D.C. Eric, welcome. Good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Cook is with us. She's a professor of Michigan State University with us from East Lansing. And Lisa, hi. Good to have you on the show. Back again. Welcome.
Good to talk to you again.
Hey, Lisa, we used to hear a lot about companies were living in this very uncertain time and they couldn't make any big decisions on hiring because it was all so uncertain. And I mean, it seems like the political environment remains pretty uncertain. Is there much more certainty in the economic realm? And is that part of the reason that companies are hiring?
I think so. I think that consumers are more confident across the board. If you look at several different measures of consumer confidence, they seem more confident. And certainly, I think that it feeds into confidence that firms are hiring and that there seem to be more jobs available and more jobs available across industries, according to the latest jobs report. So I can see the reason for confidence among average Americans, sure.
Okay, let me grab a call here from Doug in Osseo. And Doug, you want to talk about what kinds of jobs are available. Is that right?
Yes. It's really exciting. There's jobs like you can't believe for $8, $9, $10 an hour. That's what they're scamming us with. These things are going great. Yes, I had a retirement until 08, 09, and whatever. Mm-hmm. And now I'm driving taxi cabs, and I say working at Burger King, I'm not, but I can be handing carts out at Walmart. It's kind of exciting.
So it's what kinds of jobs are actually available. And Eric, this is something I wanted to talk with you both today. Is that the big question? Is, yes, there's a lot of hiring going on. It's what these jobs pay and how much security there is to them.
Yeah, exactly. And both of the caller and the earlier tweet you referenced is right on that. You know, there are a lot of jobs out there. But the 800,000 of them are at restaurants.
Wow.
You know, and we saw really strong hiring like last month in retail trade, which is working at, you know, a Walmart, like caller just referenced. And that kind of plays into why we're not seeing the wage growth that you'd expect.
Uh-huh.
For the unemployment being historically low, you'd expect to see just last time in the late 1990s, early 2000s, when unemployment was similarly low, paychecks were rising almost twice as fast as they are now. So I think it's a case where if you want a job, you can get one, but you shouldn't necessarily expect that to be a high-paying job unless you have specialized skills.
So, Eric, what's the reasoning for that then? I mean, why aren't more companies digging in to say, we need, you know, higher-paying, secure jobs? We need to boost our productivity again.
Right. I think it's because they don't have to. Because what we saw last time in this previous month, it was a great example. Most of the hiring came from people that were outside the labor force. So even though the unemployment rate's low, there's still a big shadow market of people out there that if they're offered a job, they seem willing to take one and willing to take it at a lower wage. The other factor is, and this is more of like something that's been going on for 30 years, as more companies are multinational, you know, the worker in Ohio is not competing with the worker in Minnesota. They're competing with the worker in China. And if the wage rates get too high in the U.S., a lot of companies have the ability to shift, and not just manufacturing jobs, shift service-type jobs, call center-type jobs,
really?
Engineering-type jobs overseas. And I talked to a company recently that said that's something that they've done to control costs. They have You know, in India and in Brazil, they have duplicative engineers with, you know, that they have here in the United States, so that they say it's an advantage to kind of be able to work around the clock and things like that. But it also means that, you know, it's, they're not just competing with U.S. workers for those jobs.
So, Lisa, this is really interesting from Eric about, I guess I consider service jobs those jobs that you need a person in front of you for, right? Retail, restaurant service. But I think we have to, I have to broaden my idea of what a service job is. And I had no idea that there was that much outsourcing of service jobs. What are you seeing in Michigan where you are?
Certainly, we're seeing the same kind of thing, but this has been happening for a long time in the auto industry. Certainly, as you'll recall, during the 2016 campaign, one of the central debates was about a Jeep factory that would be kept in Michigan or not, or moved. And you know, it was indicative of what has already happened. There's an international supply chain of parts. We're seeing this with respect to, well, parts and assembly, and we're seeing this with respect to the possible implication of the tariffs that are being posed on steel and aluminum.
Yeah.
That, you know, this might give a boost to workers in the steel and aluminum industries, and that would probably be short run, but the ones who might be hurt the most will be in the auto industry, might be in the auto industry, in the downstream, or rather upstream part of the value chain.
Listener on Twitter here says, after 6 years with kids, impossible to find permanent full-time work meeting expenses. As many others I meet in temp jobs, in spite of BA and MS degrees, can only find temp work, age, but plus super pickyism. To the phones here, to Jerry in Columbia Heights. Hi, Jerry. What's your experience with this?
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
After working with a large insurance company for 26 years, I was terminated in 2008 at the height of the recession. Since that time, I've only been able to find contract, part-time, temporary work and jobs, and I'm currently working as a school bus driver. Even though that large insurance company has had job openings and posted and rehired many people, they've always hired younger workers and not rehired the legacy employees that were laid off. So now 10 years later, working a part-time job, the savings are exhausted, and retirement looks like a dream instead of a reality.
You bring up a good question here, Jerry, that I wanted to talk to Eric about. When we hear about companies, you know, having tightened and now opening up new job possibilities, why aren't they going back to some of the people that they laid off, as Jerry suggests? Too high of salaries? They don't have to pay that?
Right. Yeah. Well, I've kind of heard two different answers to that. One is just that, you know, a lot of cases you might be able to find someone that's comes out of school, you know, maybe from Michigan State or University of Minnesota, and they have both the skills, that the most recent technical skills, and they're willing to accept a much lower salary. We're actually even seeing a pickup in, you know, the number of teenagers that are in the labor force after a long decline. And some of that might be, well, those are people that maybe you don't need to pay as much. You don't need to pay health care. So there's definitely some undertones, some questions about, are businesses shy about committing long term to someone who's a little bit older and might command a higher salary. And I think, as some of the callers have indicated, those older workers are still in the workforce, but in many cases, they're kind of on a second career, maybe a part-time job. Maybe I think someone said they're an Uber driver. I've heard a lot of
that. Yeah, yeah. So, Eric, what has to happen to the economy to force employers to have to bring in, you know, employees with a higher level of experience and pay them more? I mean, are we looking at something that is kind of, this is how it's going to be? Or is there a moment, you know, are we at a place where, well, the economy is going to continue to change and employers are going to have to step up?
Yeah, I mean, this is, in some ways, I think this is a bit, this is the economy, that we're probably not set up to have you know, this big, a big, you know, post-World War II type boom at this point, because our workforce is aging. And in fact, what could change in the little bit longer run? Well, maybe some folks that are in their late 50s, early 60s that are working now, 10 years from now, presumably fewer of them will be working. And, you know, maybe that would start kind of putting upward pressure.
Right.
But like I said, again, as long as companies have other options, whether it be automation or finding workers overseas, you know, there's going to be pressure, downward pressure on U.S. wage growth.
Yeah. Eric Morath with us from The Wall Street Journal and Lisa Cook with us from Michigan State University, where she's an economist, as we consider what we should really understand about these robust jobs numbers. Big job creation last month and not quite as high the month before, but still looking very good. How to understand the overall macro economy with your own micro economy? So that's what I'm asking you. Is your company hiring? Have you gotten a raise lately? That's an indication that a company wants you to stick around. Have you started looking for a better job? You feel like the job market is open enough for that, and it's time to get out there and leverage your talent and your skills. What's your own economy look like in the midst of this? 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and I'm on Twitter at Carrie NPR, where Carmen says, few senior-level positions opening. I've been in full-time search for 2 years, competing against hundreds of others. Great to be in the top five, but I want an offer and get back to work after severance in 2016. Lisa, I wondered if you'd weigh in on what Eric was saying about the aging of the workforce and what that means in terms of hiring.
Well, I have a, first of all, I completely agree. And I think that there's something that I would add. And I would add that there was at least reported quite a bit of age discrimination associated with the. So, you know, if firms could get rid of aging workers who were possibly higher price, higher cost, they did. And when they are applying or were applying, they seem to face discrimination. So the question that the person on Twitter was asking may have to do with part of that. They can get someone part-time rather than more experienced. They know that there are these other jobs out there that are part-time, like Uber, or part-time or flexible or part of the gig economy, and they're not willing to commit yet. And I think it's a really good question that you're asking. What will it take for employers to offer higher wages? Well, we found out from this Twitter debacle earlier this year, where after the tax cut was passed, and you know, there was a person touting the fact that she had benefited from, you know, had more in her paycheck, and it was due to the minimum wage having been raised in her state, not because of the tax cut.
Right.
Right? So I think that it might be something like that. Now, that doesn't mean that employees are going to see more stable employment or, you know, commitment to them as permanent workers. But maybe in some industries, they'll get a bump in that regard because this is still rolling out. There are more states that are adopting minimum wage laws or raising the minimum wage.
Jeff says on Twitter, we're being underpaid in the engineering field, told there was going to be salary adjustments over the last year, and this year we got next to nothing for a raise. Eric, I take it many employers are not feeling like they need to give out significant raises to keep people around because I guess they feel like they can open the door and more cheaper employees will come in.
Yeah, I think in some cases that is what's happening. One of the issues going on in the economy is a lack of mobility. And I think older workers, in some cases, this is where they come in.
Well,
tell
me what you mean by that when you say a lack of mobility.
Well, you know, a lot of people say they lost a good paying job and they want another good paying job. But then I ask them, well, are you willing to leave where you live? And they say, no,
okay.
I'm not. My grandchildren live here, or I paid off my home. I talked to a man last year who was in Texas, and he lost a job in the you know, technical computer industry. And he'd been very well paid and had a lot of credentials. We said he was offered many jobs that paid him more money. They were in San Francisco or San Jose. He wasn't willing to move there, in part because if you sold this very nice house in Texas, he'd get a one-bedroom condo in San Francisco, you know, right. And he said it wasn't worth it to him. But that's a factor that people aren't always, especially older, experienced people, aren't always where the jobs are. And really, we've seen very strong growth during this expansion in places like New York, San Francisco, yeah, Los Angeles, and that necessarily is strong in all parts of the middle of the country.
Yeah. Call here from Jenna in St. Paul. Hi, Jenna. Appreciate you waiting. What's your situation?
So my husband and I are both self-employed. I tried to get a job after being out of the workforce with my kids part-time and working in the school system, but I finally figured out the reason why no one was hiring me is not because of my skill level. It's because I'm 53 years old and my health care costs a fortune because I pay for it now.
I see. So how have you adjusted, you know, the knowledge of that with your job search?
I'm not job searching. I'm independent now, and I do my own thing, and it's actually great, but it has no health care and it has no retirement. Yeah.
Wow. What's the health care cost like for you?
So we have a family of four, and my daughter has special needs, so we pay $35,000 a year, and that's quite common among my friends who are my age.
Wow. Okay. Jenna, good to have your insight there. Thanks very much. Call here from Mike in St. Paul. Hi, Mike. What are you thinking about on this?
Oh, hi, Carrie. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
See, I've got 2 points to bring up. One is the role of demographics that are playing in the changing economy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question I had for your listener or your guest is the role that financial engineering is playing. If you look at a lot of companies across the country, you see a lot of financial engineering going on with stock buybacks, increased dividends, actually taking out loans and debt to pay dividends. GE is an example. And that by doing that, that tells me that they don't have a very strong belief in the future of their corporation and creating valuable products that people are buying.
Okay.
If they're doing all this financial engineering rather than creating goods for sale.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious what your
two interesting points. Eric, may I come to you on the financial engineering part of that?
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, there's been definitely the fact that there's been stock buybacks, and we've seen this tremendous boom in the stock market means that those who own the stock are benefiting more from this economic expansion than those who work for the companies. And that's been a trend that's been on for several years, where the share of income going to labor is growing at a slower rate than the share of income that's going to stockholders. And yeah, companies are making the decision that it's better to reward their owners. And in fact, that there's some analysts have told me that could accelerate with the tax law.
I was just going to ask you that. Wasn't that what a lot of critics of the tax bill were saying was going to happen with companies? It wasn't going to lead to a bunch of hiring?
Right. Well, by lowering the pass-through tax on some smaller businesses, it means that what you pay in taxes on essentially the profits that go to the owner have been decreased. So that should incentivize the owner to take larger profits, which may mean not hiring that extra person. Maybe that owner works a few more hours instead of hiring that extra person, for example.
Lisa, to the demographics piece, and let me read this from Twitter because I think it fits. Daryl says, 30-plus years working in IT, laid off in 2003, age 54, took 2 years to find a comparable position, worked 2 years, laid off again in 2007. In between these layoffs, worked at Costco, auto parts store, as a courier, etc. Savings are gone, only Social Security. So when we look at the demographics here and we look at people that are within this age range, I don't know, 45 to 65, what's this economy look like to them?
Now, that's an interesting question. And I would just echo what Eric was saying in the sense that when I talk to firms in Silicon Valley, one of the things that, and let's say that this is just a representative dynamic part of the economy, one of the things that they're using to recruit is they're depending on mobility, and they're depending on no sticker shock from the people who are going to be moving. They're depending on people, recruits, living together, you know, having roommates and so on.
be very difficult for an older worker who likely has a family, who likely has a mortgage, who doesn't want to live with a roommate to do this. And it is, I think, just the demographics in terms of where the workers actually are, certainly working against them in that regard. And then there's a whole set of assumptions that, would go along with assuming that they would move or assuming that these jobs would be paid at a level that would be low enough to be attractive. So I think that there's certainly something to the person who was writing in's complaint.
Lisa, thank you as always. I know you have to get to a class or some other appointment. Really good to have your insight on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And to a call here from Megan in Minneapolis. Hi, Megan.
Hi. I just wanted to call in. I work for a large bank, and for about the last 5 years in a row, I've only gotten about a 1% increase, even though they've had record profits across the board. You know, they send out stuff to us telling us all the time. And now they've received a large tax cut. And in my mind, it has a lot less to do with employers' ability to pay, you know, their employees more money, but a lot more to do with kind of the squashing of unions and people's bargaining abilities.
Ah.
We're just kind of helpless. And I don't know, I guess that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. Eric, how does your reporting fit with what Megan's experience is?
Well, unionization rates are at the lowest level since the government started recording them. So there's definitely a correlation between industries that are heavily unionized and larger pay and a larger share of income going to the workers in those industries. So, you know, that's certainly a factor, especially if you're not in a position where part of your compensation is, you know, some stock or those types of bonuses. And a lot of times that only goes to the upper management.
Rhea says, and this is a consistent theme here, Eric, so we should probably talk about this more in full.
Sure.
Many of my friends that have all been laid off in the last year or two who are over 50 are not being hired either regardless of their experience. Companies are no longer looking for employees that are over 35. The younger, the better. Scary for us over 50. And I want to grab a call here from Greg in Anoka, who I think was bringing up ageism. Hey, Greg, hi. What'd you want to talk about? We might have missed him. I think he was saying, I'm a baby boomer. When I apply for jobs, I don't get invited to any interviews. The main reason is that many companies use algorithms, so they sort applications, so they can't be accused of ageism. What is happening with the 50 and up employees who want to continue working, and you know what are companies doing about that?
Yeah, I mean, companies are doing a few different things, and I saw you mentioned a couple other folks talked about being contractors or temps, and
right.
that's something that is definitely playing out where folks in those industries are actually recruiting people to be just that, being a consultant. We don't want to hire you to be the senior vice president. We want to hire you to be a consultant.
And the reason for that is they just don't want to have to pay the benefits and the health care and all that.
Right, get you out of that and get you, and it makes you a more flexible employee, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can end the consulting contract on so many months notice, not necessarily, you know, have to pay out a big severance and unemployment and all that. So that's something that companies are responding with. The other thing that I guess if you try to defend employers here is that they'd say older workers sometimes don't have the skills that they need. And that's actually something that's probably a bigger issue, that when you're in a job that you're not getting the training to learn new things while you're at work, and you learn to do what you do really well, and then say that job goes away because it gets automated or sent overseas or the company closes, that you can't necessarily take that and say, well, hey, I can do this at another place.
Right.
And that's another part of that is the issue of concentration of industries. We talked about the auto industry in Michigan. Well, if there's fewer manufacturing jobs, you can't just lose your job at Chrysler and go get a job at GM. GM also has fewer workers.
What's the answer to that, Eric? I think many employees over 50 that are looking for work would say, well, I'm open to training. I'm willing to learn what they need me to learn. Companies are not as invested in the training anymore, are they?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we're starting to see come back a little bit, but it took till now, I mean, keep in mind the recession began like a decade ago. And now in the last year or so, I'm starting to hear, well, we're willing to take on this person who maybe has a bit of a checkered past or needs a little bit of help. I talked to some folks in Baltimore that did training specifically to take retail jobs. So I think that's coming back a little bit, but you know, we're in a long term where we move from lots of people losing their jobs, and now we've been in a long term of lots of people having jobs but not getting the pay raises or the higher salaries they'd like.
It's hard to believe the recession was 10 years ago, isn't it?
Yes, wow. Yes. It definitely had a long hangover and continues to affect how people view things.
Phil says on Twitter, I'm pushing 65. I work with a top 10 global engineering design firm office in St. Paul, 3% raise last year. I feel fortunate, but not entirely secure. And Anne says, instead of just looking for the best paying job, I look for the easiest commute and the cheapest insurance rates. It's not all about the paycheck, since commuting and insurance expenses add up quickly. I feel like a lot of people overlook those for the dollar signs. Interesting insight there. Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, that's very smart. I mean, that's one of the things we've definitely heard is that employees don't necessarily only care about the money, and that's why wages aren't growing as fast. You know, one of the big things is that can differentiate. People say they'll take tens of thousands of dollars less if their company offers childcare. You know, that's a huge difference. So that's something to be considered. And then to the gentleman that spoke about a 3% raise, well, that's like a percentage point above inflation. So,
right.
I mean,
right.
10, 15 years ago when inflation was, you know, closer to 4%, if you got a 5% raise, you might have, that's pretty good. Well, essentially, in real terms, he got the same thing.
To the phones to Ashley in Shoreview. How's this fitting with your life, Ashley? Hi.
Hi. Maybe poor timing after the ageism discussion, but I wanted to give the perspective of somebody who hasn't really started a career yet.
Good, good.
I graduated high school right at the start of that recession 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and I have been in and out of school and working temp jobs for the past 10 years. So school, I'm at the end of a degree program right now, and it requires a 3-month unpaid internship. And so as you imagine, that's
Jeez.
Difficult to work during. And so I haven't done Uber per se, but things like Uber, and in my case, grocery delivery, have been a godsend because it pays better than any of the temp full-time jobs that I've had over the last 10 years. It's much easier, and you have way more control over the hours. So, and I think that there's this misconception that it's dangerous for jobs, but, you know, talking to the director of the grocery store where I deliver from, she says that, you know, things like this really help their bottom line. We still have to use the cashiers, like mm-hmm. we still work with them. So I think that it's great. I'm doing great with that, much better than I have been over the last 10 years.
Ashley, I'm just curious about when, given that you've been through college, you're looking at these internships, you're not making the salary yet that you hope to make in your career. At what point do you think that's on your horizon?
The career that I'm going into requires more school than I have currently finished. This is kind of step one.
Okay.
So I think that the actual salary stuff, I still have a good, you know, 3-4 years before I'll probably even be doing that. So sustaining myself with something like grocery delivery is probably going to be for a while.
Okay. Hey, really good to have your insight on that. So now, Eric, let's talk about the other end of the spectrum here. Mm-hmm. You're newly out of college, you know, freshly minted degree, and how's the economy looking for you?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of job opportunities out there right now. So from that perspective, pretty good. But are you willing, again, same thing, are you willing to move? And there is an expectation that if you come to a city like I'm in Washington, D.C., or certainly out West Coast, Seattle, San Francisco, like, are you okay with, you know, kind of living with roommates until you're into your 30s? and we've seen that in the data that people are forming families and having children later in life. And I think that's part of the effect. Also keep in mind student loans.
Right.
You know, if you have a student loan bill, you're not making a ton of money and you have three roommates, you know, probably, you know, thinking about kids isn't something that's high on your agenda.
You know what I'm curious about is, so we hear all the competition for, you know, Amazon's going to open a warehouse and every state wants to have it, or Which is the big tech company that's opening new headquarters? Well, that's Amazon too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all Amazon.
Well, they're basically powering the economy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Amazon is a great example. Well, they do have many high-paying engineering and sales jobs. I mean, companies are fighting over Amazon warehouses, which is a great way for them to lower the cost of labor, right? It's so much more efficient to have a warehouse that serves thousands of customers in one centralized location than it is to have a store, the old town square, you know, every couple of miles and the general store there, right? So they can be way more efficient. They're leaders in robotics and automation. It's not only humans that are pulling those packages for you. They are leaders in that type of logistics. So they're using technology and they're helping to force down or keep in check wage rates with that. And then the amazing thing is states are competing to get these warehouses in their state.
Right.
I mean, the average salary in warehousing is like half of that of manufacturing. So we used to compete for auto plants. Now we compete for something that pays half as well.
You know, I was thinking about that this weekend. I was on Amazon buying something and the option of the Amazon locker popped up. And I thought, I wonder what this means to, the small businesses who normally, you know, if I wasn't in a rush, I might have run out to, I would have put that on my schedule and run out to buy all these various things. So what's your insight on that, on what these different ways that Amazon is making this stuff kind of instantly available to us means?
Right. As they narrow the time that it takes to get the product to your home, I mean, it greatly gives them and other companies that have that type of logistics the advantage over, I mean, I personally have some little kids and it's really hard to get time to go to the store. I often can't do it till the weekend. And if I know I need something today, Amazon will beat me to Target every day of the week.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that does change things. And it's just an example. And this happening in all sorts of different industries. Lots of talk today about Uber, right?
Well, right.
That's a way where you're able, used to be in New York City, that you had to pay, you know, $100,000 to become a taxi driver. And there was this huge barrier to be a taxi driver. So therefore, taxi drivers had some pricing power. Well, now everyone can be an Uber driver. And they don't taxi. Certainly people, you can talk to taxi drivers in New York, or actually talk to Uber drivers in New York. They used to be taxi drivers.
That's right. I was just in New York and that is the case, right? Or they're driving for all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
When
yep.
they're not doing Lyft, they're doing Uber, or they're doing the cab company that, is in their neighborhood.
Right.
Call here from Christine in St. Paul. Hi, Christine. How's this look to you?
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, so I actually graduated high school during the recession as well in 2008, and going to college was kind of a slow process for me. So when I finally did go to college, I couldn't make more than $20,000 a year at the time, and then I got a bachelor's degree from the University of Minnesota, and I struggled to find a high-paying job with that degree because it's such a saturated market now.
Wow.
So when I did find a job, it was paying $30,000 a year, which isn't much. So I decided, you know, why put off having kids? I'm now 25 years old, so I started having kids instead of working on my career. And then once I did have two children, trying to get back into the market, still $30,000
so interesting. A year. Yeah.
Huh. On that, it's $1,000 a month just for one kid in daycare. And that's half of my paycheck a month. So to have two kids is pretty much impossible and to work full time.
Yeah. I mean, Eric, I think we hear with the student loans and with the cost of daycare, a lot of younger would-be employees making those calculations. You must, too, as you're doing your reporting.
Certainly. I mean, one of the mysteries of this economy is there's a smaller share of people working today than, you know, 15, 20 years ago, even at like the 25 to 54 year range. So why aren't those people working in as large a numbers? And one of the answers probably is both child care and elder care. That if you've liked this caller and need to pay $1,000 of after tax income a month, you know, you gotta be having it like a halfway decent job to make it worth in the short term going to work. Now some people would advise you push through it. Your kids are only little for a short amount of time. And once you're in school, they'll have more options. So there's an argument to be made there. But certainly that's an explanation for why a smaller share of people in their 20s and 30s even are working than a couple decades ago.
Super interesting. I'd like to do a deeper discussion around that. Maybe you'll come back.
Oh,
and talk
I'd be happy
to. Thank you. Eric, really good to have you on the show. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Eric Morath with us from the Wall Street Journal, and more conversation about the economy. Really good to have your insight on that. This is also the time of the year when we reflect on what we're thankful for, and as you can imagine, it's members here at Minnesota Public Radio. So we're thankful for people like Ernest in Bloomington, Lindsay in Red Wing, and Richard in St. Paul. Also, Thomas in Grand Forks, North Dakota, Katie in Maple Grove, Ashley and Kevin in St. Louis Park. Thank you all for supporting these kinds of conversations on Minnesota Public Radio News.